Good morning, everyone. Again, it is a privilege for me to stand up here and give you a lesson. But it's a lesson of old. Joshua of old. In this statement, this is a statement that he gave before the Israelites were going into the land of Canaan. And if you know any of your Jewish history, this would be a time of great turmoil, fighting, and depending on God to get them through. And Joshua made the statement, if you want to believe in another God, well, make the choice now. But as for him and his house, he will believe and trust God, and he will serve him and his house. You know, as Christians today, as human beings, we have a free moral choice. Not only is that a free choice in what we need to think and do, where we go, what friends we're going to have, what God we're going to serve. You see, even though this statement was made to a vast number of people, each and every individual in the Jewish nation had to make that decision whether or not they were going to serve God or not. That's the question we want to ask ourselves today. For the next few minutes, I want to have a look at seven different things. Yes, to Deborah's dismay, this is an 8-page sermon. And when I'm in Virginia, I sort of joke that I'm from North Carolina and I talk slow. But we're going to get through this pretty quick. I want to build on Jarrett's lesson. You know, Jarrett's lesson this morning where we are commanded by Christ and God to love one another. Today we want to talk about seven different things. Have we been saved? That's the first one. Then I want to talk about, is your life going to be happy? Then we're going to talk about, what kind of friends you have? Are they friends that make it hard for you to be a Christian? Or are they friends that make it easy? Then we're going to talk about the church. And we're not talking about this building. We're going to be talking about you and me. Will the church continue to grow? Will the church keep on being strong? Will the church continue to be sound? Then the final question, number 7, that we all need to ask ourselves and be assured of, is, am I going to heaven? So let's notice what Jesus said about being saved. Well, Jesus wants us all to be saved. But he had some things in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. If you will, please turn with me there. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, This is a cry. This is a cry. Thou that killest the prophets, those servants that I send to you, and stoneth them which sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings. But ye would not. You know, Christ and his word is just like a chicken. Now, there's some of us in here that know what chickens do when they have little chicks. There's some of us in here that don't. I remember in my grandmother's yard, chickens running everywhere. And a lot of times they would have a bunch of little ones running around behind them. And they would come up a dog or even a hawk, but when I was growing up, hawks were sort of rare. But a hawk would fly over, and she would go around the yard like this. And she would broom those little chicks up under her wings for protection. You know, that's all that Jesus and God want us to do, is to be under their protection. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, Peter talks about what God has to say and how he feels. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but in long-suffering in usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not want anyone to perish. Reflecting on back what Joshua said, God has given the opportunity, but we as individuals have to make up our minds. Lastly, in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, John writes this. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And the spirit of the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know, this verse brings me to a remembrance of a saying that my grandfather used to say, and we all know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You see, that's us. The preacher can stand up here in this pulpit and preach his heart out. The living water. That's what the preacher preaches. But it's up to us to drink it. Others can do a whole lot for you. They can do things. We can preach to you, pray for you. But you know, you can't decide for you. You know, it's sort of like in Acts chapter 24 through chapter 28. Paul, you know, and he's talking to Felix, and he's talking to Agrippa. And Felix tells him, you almost have convinced me, but not quite. And then when Paul is talking to Agrippa, he tells Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Not quite, but almost. I feel that Paul, when talking to Agrippa and persuading him, he did all that he could. But it was up to Agrippa and to Felix to change. Is your life going to be happy? You know, you can't buy happiness. There's a lot of people out there that try to. You can't beg happiness. You can't borrow happiness either. And least of all, you can't steal happiness. But do you know, it's within the grasp of everyone in here. It is right there. It's right there. And we can have happiness. You know, the Lord wants us to be happy. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, in the Beatitudes, he says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say of all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake." Then he says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Exceeding glad. "For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets," just like we read before. The word blessed. In the Latin, it is beata. B-E-A-T-I. Beata. That's in the Latin. And that word means blessed or happy. In the Greek, it's meiarchoeis. And that means to be well off and happy. Is our life happy? So Jesus tells us in the Beatitudes, he says, happy is, blessed are. And he tells us all the different ways that we have to be happy. Happiness comes from the obedience of the Lord and a close relationship with Him. A close one. Can't be just a fleeting relationship. It needs to be a close one because we need to know where God's coming from. And the reason for that is, and we find in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, where Solomon says that it's the final thing after everything's done, the whole of God. King James Version says the whole duty. But if you notice, that's written in italics. And that's put in there by the writers. So it's the whole of man. Not just the duty, but it's our being to fear God and keep His commandments. In Psalms chapter 144, in verse 15, it says, "Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people who God is the Lord." What about when people were saved? When they were baptized? Philip and the eunuch, when they come up out of the water, they went on their way rejoicing. Remember us older people when our children became Christians. or someone that you've been working with and studying with decided to become a Christian. How happy. How happy. Happiness does not depend on material things. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15 it says, "And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not of the abundance of the things which he possesses." When Paul was writing to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, he tells them that he's satisfied in the state in which he is. What kind of friends are you going to have? What kind of friends do you have? To have friends, there are several different things that we have to do. The first one is to be a friend. To be a friend. In order to have a friend, we need to be a friend. Be friendly. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." Oh, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Be unselfish. A friend has to be unselfish. Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2, in verse 4, he said, "Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others." We must do things for others. As we studied in our lesson this morning, that's love. That's love. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 11, it says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Let's talk about the church now. The church being this assembly, the assembly of the saints, not the building. The church of the first century, the book of Acts records that the growth that happened was because of this. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Having favor with all the people. Acts chapter 4 and verse 4, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. You know, we always say that that's the 5,000 that were saved. But if you really look deeply into this, it says the number of men. The number of men was about 5,000. In this particular time, you know, women weren't counted. And if those men had a wife and they believed, the number could have been 10,000. But the number of men was 5,000. Notice the word, heard the word and believed. You know, that's two different things. Hearing and believing. When one believes, one acts on what one hears. The church grew because they can. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we find that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Brothers and sisters, you can ask him. Jared will tell you that that word "and" means that all of those things are connected together. And you cannot have one without the other. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2 and 3, he says, "The saints and the faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." They prayed for each other. They prayed for each other. They prayed for each other. Who were they? The church. The family of God. Is the church going to be strong? Is it going to be strong in friendliness? Matthew chapter 25. Is it going to be strong in the way that we act upon each other? The person sitting next to you may turn out to be a good friend that you haven't met yet. We see each other in here every week, but do we know each other? A good friend sitting next to you. Is a church going to be strong in soul winning? James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Saving a soul from death. You know, that should be our first priority. Talking to people that we know, reasoning with them to save a soul from death. Is a church going to be strong in sacrifice? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. "Your body is to be a living sacrifice." Sacrifice is one or something given over to another. Our bodies. Is the church going to be strong in knowledge? You know, Hosea wrote in chapter 4, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, he wrote this, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt not be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget my children." Wow. Aren't we priests? We don't want God to forget us. And this is not earthly knowledge. This is godly knowledge that we can only get from the Bible. Reading and understanding. In 1 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, in 1 Timothy, his first letter, and in chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "Till I come, Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Is a church strong in attendance? The Hebrew writer writes this, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You know, some people take this verse and they say, oh, we need to be at services. We need to listen to the lesson. But they forget about the last part of this verse. And so much the more. It's more than just sitting here listening to a lesson. It's the fellowship. The fellowship meal. The going to see each other in your homes. I got a question. I don't want to see any raise of hands, but I just want you to think about it. How many in this audience have been in everyone's home in this audience? I can stand up here, Brother Claude can stand up here and preach all day long about knowing each other. We can know each other in this assembly, but I'm here to tell you, I'm different at home than I am here. One way is I don't dress like this all the time. Even though I've heard of preachers that mow their yard in a suit, I don't do that. We are different. We act different. I'm teaching the same word over here across the parking lot, but I don't dress like this. I teach the same word, but I'm different. It's a different environment. So much the more. We can't understand how people are thinking unless we visit. Is the church going to remain sound in the faith? This is the question that so many refuse to answer. To see the church, will you remain faithful? Only if you boldly stand for the truth. Let's look at what Paul told Timothy and Titus. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he told Titus, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 13, this witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Soundness and unsoundness are gradual processes. They don't come about all at one time. They come about gradually. Finally, I want to talk about, are you going to heaven? You know, when we die, we're all going someplace. The Lord has gone to prepare a place for us. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. He's gone to prepare a place. Are you prepared for it? Are you prepared for it? With the questions that we've asked, I want you to ask yourselves, have you been saved? Is your life going to be happy? What kind of friends do you have? Will the church continue to grow? Is the church going to be strong? Is the church going to be sound? Are you going to heaven? You know, the first step to going to heaven is to hear the word and to believe it. To believe what it said. And if we believe it, we're going to act on it. That brings forth the repentance, the change of mind. Not only the change of a turn around in a different direction, but a direction toward God. Are we going to be in the direction toward God? And if you haven't confessed that Christ is the Son of God and believed enough to be baptized, your connection between salvation and damnation, or damnation, whether or not you do it, that's the plain simple truth. If you're subject to the invitation, if you're subject to the answer that you must give today, please come forward to be and let it be known.